We have two parts of ourselves, right? We have the part of ourselves that says, I don't feel worthy, therefore I push myself and I do all of these things. And then we have this other part of ourselves that is actually the opposite. It is, no, I am worthy, therefore I'm going to go after these things. I'm going to chase them. And if we really peel back the layers of both of these things, they are both trying to do the exact same thing.
You're listening to the High Performance Health Podcast, helping you optimize your health, performance, and longevity. My name is Angela Foster, and I'm a former corporate lawyer turned high performance health coach. Each week, I bring you cutting edge biohacks, inspiring insights, and high performance habits to unlock optimal health, performance, and longevity. So excited that you've chosen to join me today. Now let's dive in. Hi friends, in today's episode we're exploring the intersection of burnout, entrepreneurship and the transformative power of functional nutrition. Joining me today is the incredible Rachel Scheer, a certified functional medicine nutritionist, entrepreneur and highly sought after speaker. Rachel's journey is super inspiring. It's one of resilience, discovery and healing. You'll hear how Rachel overcame her own health challenges to build a fully organic, multi-million dollar business. We delve into the challenges of gut health issues, the pitfalls of medical misdiagnosis, and the journey towards healing through deep inner work and self-reflection. And our conversation goes beyond just physical health. We talk about the critical role of self-worth, body image, and the transformative process of inner child work in healing and personal growth. I think you're going to love Rachel's insights into visualization, identity shaping, and the importance of intention and self-awareness in business and fitness. So whether you're struggling with health issues, facing burnout, or simply looking for ways to optimize your well-being, today's episode is for you. Let's dive in and learn how to take control of our health, harness our inner strength, and transform our lives from the inside out. Rachel, I am so excited to have you here today. We were just talking offline. I think both you and I share that kind of same type A personality. We've both experienced burnout. We have so much in common. I loved coming on your show and I'm just really excited and thrilled to have you here today. So welcome to High Performance Health.
Thank you for having me on, Angela. I loved having you on my show talking all about biosyncing and hearing your story really about you creating the life, the health that you want for yourself, but really creating that out of walking through some shit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've both kind of experienced that and come out the other side much more optimized. Can we sort of kick off with how, I mean, you've created a number of successful businesses. You mentioned you've experienced burnout yourself. Can you give us a little bit of background to your story and how you came into the world of functional nutrition and really helping women elevate their business and their lives?
Yeah, I got into functional medicine through a lot of my own health issues. I used to be a fitness model. Actually, before that, I was a gymnast and I was a dancer. So fitness, athletics for me has always been a way of my life, right? I was also in school, never the smartest, the most talented one. I was not the best gymnast. I was not the best dancer. I actually, even when it came to school, I got straight D's in junior high. And even before that, I was in remedial classes for a long time. So everything in my life, I've had to learn to develop an insane work ethic. And actually, there was this day that my dad came to me when I was making straight D's. And he was like, Rachel, if you do not get your grades up, I'm going to have to get you a tutor. And I was like, no, dad, please don't make me get a tutor. And I busted my ass. I worked harder than I'd ever worked before. And I went from making D's to C's, from C's to B's to A's. And by the time I was in high school, I was actually taking advanced college courses, which is ultimately what got me into a college like Baylor University, where I decided to study nutrition and dietetics. And I share all of that because for me, my entire life, I've had to work harder than anybody else, right? For the average person who had to study, whether it was 3 hours, I'd be studying 8 hours, right? I was not the best when it came to dance or gymnastics, but I had to develop this work ethic, and that has really carried with me throughout my entire life. And when I got into college, you know, I got into bodybuilding competitions because it was like, okay, I'm not going to do dance or gymnastics anymore. And I fell in love with what fitness did for me and my confidence. And especially because I was that shy girl. I was that girl when I grew up too. I sat in the back of the classroom, like I would speak under my voice very, very, very quietly. And I felt like I never really had a voice for myself, which is so interesting because I now do public speaking and I do podcasting and I do all of this. And so much of my life has been about doing the exact opposite of what I was used to or what I was brought up in, everything that I've been afraid of, everything that scared me. It's been about, okay, we're not going to run away. We're actually going to run towards that. But getting into functional medicine, it came as a byproduct of really going all in bodybuilding, right? Like I said, I have this insane discipline with everything that I do. So I found that I was really good at it. I got down to 12% body fat. I love fitness. I love working out. And I started competing and I started to win, right? It was like, okay, maybe I'm not the best at these things, but I'm best at this. So I fell in love with the sport. I loved what it did for me mentally, physically, at least at the time. And I think for a lot of type A personalities, a lot of achievers, you know, the things that we do start off as something very healthy, right? We're like, okay, I love what this does for me. I love how I'm feeling in my body, but eventually we can often lose sight of that. And that's exactly what happened to me. It was 3 years into competing, bodybuilding competitions. I was now doing fitness modeling. I was the cover of different magazines like bodybuilding.com, Trend Magazine, Men's Health, that my body started to give me pushback. So you could say this was like my first experience of burnout. And it came in the form of gut issues. So I started to struggle with severe gut issues, right? So at the end of every single day, I would look 6 months pregnant because of how bloated I was. But food hurt me. Like it scared me. So going out to restaurants and all of that, it became something that I was very much afraid to do. So especially to coming from bodybuilding, you know, we already live such a restrictive lifestyle, right? We're already like counting our macros and we're already eating in these containers. So my diet ended up dwindling down to probably like 5 foods that I could eat. And dealing with a lot of these issues now, I went to Western medicine, right? Because that's what we're taught to do. It's like, okay, there's something obviously off. And I'm the type of person who's not passive. I'm not going to sit back. So I'm like, hey, let's get to the root of some of these health issues. So this began the journey for the next couple of years of me going from doctor to doctor, specialist to specialist. You know, they did the basic blood work. They found out I had hypothyroidism. So I was put on thyroid medication. I was already on an antidepressant because when I was 16 years old, I dealt with a lot of bullying, and my mom's approach was, why is my daughter crying all the time? So I was put on an antidepressant at the age of 16. I was put on birth control, and now I'm putting on all these other medications. I'm put on thyroid medication. I'm put on prescription-based laxatives because my gut issues got so severe. I couldn't even use the restroom at all anymore. So it was the combination of prescription laxatives. It was the combination of actually having to do an enema because it was so severe. Now at this point, even the prescription laxatives didn't even help. So to just be able to evacuate, you know, my bowels, I would have to do an enema, you know, once or twice a day. And going from specialist to specialist, they did the CT scans, they did the MRI, colonoscopy, endoscopy, and everything always came back as normal. You are the picture of perfect health, Rachel. It's like, really, really am I? And I was just set managing my symptoms. And I continued to seek answers, actually went to the Mayo Clinic, which is supposed to be the best of the best in the United States. And they did all of their testing, they did all of their scans, and very similar, nothing. I just had IBS, and they were treating all of these symptoms. And it was actually pretty shortly after that that I was sent to a colorectal surgeon, and their solution was to actually cut out my entire large intestine. Now at this point, because I could not use the restroom at all without doing the enema, and of course that can be incredibly toxic to your body and very, very detrimental in a lot of ways. So my quality of life, you can imagine at this point, is just, I mean, the lowest point I have ever been. And so much of my life is just focused on myself, just survival mode, just trying to get through the day, which is anybody, right? When they're struggling with their health, like we're not thinking about, you know, other people very often. We're not thinking about chasing our dreams. We're not thinking about growing a business. We're very, very selfish because that's all we can do. We can only focus on our physical health issues and just trying to get through the day and just trying to manage the symptoms. And I was at such a low point in my life and on all these medications and now depression, anxiety at an all-time high. When the physician told me, Rachel, we should cut out your large intestine, I was like, cool. I was like, great. Wow. When can you schedule it? Cut it out.
Because you just wanted to see it's gone. It's causing me so much problem.
Yeah. I was that low and I was that desperate in my life. And now having been there before, I can speak to that in people. I know what it's like to be at that point where somebody wants the quick fix, where they want the easy way out. I don't judge people who want the medication, you know, who want the surgeries, even when it comes to people who want to lose weight, who are like, what are the quick fixes? I know what it's like to be so uncomfortable in your body, to feel so low and so desperate to just, okay, whatever I have to do, just give it to me and I'll do it. And ultimately, that's what now has made me such an incredible coach and to be able to serve and help other people. I don't just speak from this place of, hey, do X, Y, and Z. I'm the picture of perfect health. I'm like, no, I know what that's like. And everything in me wanted just to get the surgery. But there was this small piece, this like small piece of faith that I had. And I can't even tell you exactly like what it was. Like, I believe, you know, it was God just saying like, hey, like, just try a little bit longer, just try a little bit longer. So I then shifted my discipline and work ethic and just became obsessed with really getting to the root cause of my health issues and healing my body. I got to that point where I was like, okay, Western medicine is not going to help me at all. I have to do this myself. I have to be the one. So I would spend hours just learning all about the gut microbiome. I actually started to do stool testing and learn more about SIBO. And I found out that I had SIBO. I had a ton of dysbiosis in my gut. I started to doing more elimination diets. I started doing leaky gut repair protocols and I would feel better for a little while. And then, you know, still there would be symptoms and I would relapse. And it was also at that time I started to really do a lot of the deep inner work in myself, right? So it was at first, okay, change my nutrition, you know, address a lot of my microbiome, which did help. And even at the time, I thought a lot of my root causes were stemming from SIBO, dysbiosis, right? Which makes sense because when there's a lot of bacterial overgrowth in the gut, this can massively impact the motility. And also at the time too, right, I was so lean. I was competing in these bodybuilding competitions and just there's a large amount of metabolic stress. So things begin to slow down metabolically. The motility in the gut comes to a halt, which created this perfect terrain for bacteria to overgrow and a lot of these issues to arrive. So already like figuring out a lot of this was like groundbreaking for me. I was like, okay, Western medicine isn't talking about this. They're not talking about the gut microbiome. They're not looking at any of these things. No one actually took a moment to actually get to know me and my lifestyle. And that was just so mind-boggling to me because if one person through these years of searching for answers had just taken a moment to be like, hey, let's like get to know this girl's lifestyle. She's been competing in bodybuilding metabolically. She's at a very, very low point. Like what is really happening, right? You're somebody, you're like, okay, that probably makes sense. Like what happened, you know, with the motility in the gut and all of these things to start to become diseased within the body. But I'm the kind of person where I'm like, well, why did all of this happen? Why was I willing to really push myself to the point where, you know, I had all of these health issues? Were there signs before that? And, you know, hindsight looking back, there were a lot of signs. And as I began to do a lot more of the deep inner work and really diving into the relationship that I had with myself, having to dive into, oh yeah, the fun stuff, right? The childhood, you know, all of the trauma that I'd walked through, which so much of it was, you know, this feeling of lack of worthiness in my life. You know, that was the true root cause. When I really peeled back all of the layers of all of these stuff, the root cause wasn't necessarily just, okay, I have bacteria overgrowth in my gut and SIBO, because I would work on that and I would work on it. But guess what? I would relapse and I'd relapse. And a lot of it was actually in my nervous system.
Perimenopause can be a time of significant disruption, not just to our hormones, but also to our sleep, anxiety, energy levels, and gut health. Add in a busy work schedule, workouts, and three kids, and I know that I need more nutrient support than I used to. While I do my best to get enough vitamins and minerals through whole food sources every day, there are times I can't quite get enough servings, and that's why I take AG1 every day. It covers my bases with high-quality ingredients like pre- and probiotics to support gut health, adaptogens to help buffer stress, antioxidants and whole food sourced nutrients to deliver that welcome boost in energy. One daily scoop of AG1 covers my nutrient gaps and supports my mental and physical health without a lot of hassle. I simply add one scoop to my water in the morning with the confidence to know I'm giving my body what it needs. Taking AG1 helps me to feel more energized, sleep better, and gives me glowing skin. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/Angela Foster. That's drinkag1.com/Angela Foster. So interesting. Thank you so much for sharing all that. I just think, what a journey. Like, such a tough time. And I think for so many people listening to this will hear parts of your story in their own, right? They've been through things that are so difficult. Before we go into the lack of worthiness, which I really want to come to, because I know you help so many women and you're so generous in the way that you help and inspire others in that regard. If we go back to when you were, obviously it had begun that sense of self-discipline with your grades and then with the bodybuilding, was there an element of feeling a sense of security in the rigidity, if you like, of any kind of structure?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I felt the most safe, right? It's like when I felt like I had the structure, when everything was super dialed in with my nutrition and my exercise, and when I feel like I was really pushing my body beyond its limits, it actually felt safe to me in a very weird way. And part of that is I think I was just so used to that kind of an upbringing, right? I grew up in an upbringing where I was used to just having to really like fight for my life in so many different ways. And so it created this sort of, well, that drive, right, to create anything that I wanted. And it created this safety really for me being in that type of a state.
Hmm. And do you think there was, like, on top of it, would you say there was any element of you feeling, obviously you felt that the hard work was a necessity to get there, but was there any element of punishing yourself in any way?
I think there was a little bit of both, right? So I think there was this deep underlying feeling of, okay, I really want to prove something. And it wasn't even to anybody else. It was, if anything, to myself, which is where I think that worthiness piece comes in. But it was almost like trying to meet this standard that I had for myself, right? So if I didn't meet that standard, that's where almost that punishment piece could come in, right? It's like, oh, you're not here yet. You need to work harder. You know, you need to, you know, do more with your nutrition. You need to get to a lower percent body fat, you know, whatever it may be of the conversation that I was having in my mind. It would be maybe that piece of punishment mentality tied into, you're not where you need to be yet based off of the standard I had for myself.
And those were the own standards that you were setting, or did you feel a sense of like pressure from your upbringing? Were there very high standards placed on you?
You know, I feel like, so I didn't really have a whole lot of parental supervision growing up. So the times where I got any kind of validation from my parents was usually through achievement. So it was through gymnastics. You know, I have memories of my dad being like, Rachel, flex your muscles, right? Because I was a gymnast. And, you know, it was through all of these things. So it makes sense, right, of that piece of worth. I am worthy when I am achieving, when I am strong, when I have the perfect body. And a lot of it really for me was on the physical side, being a gymnast and a dancer.
Interesting. And when you talk about this sense of worthiness, I think it's something that so many women struggle with. How did you go about developing that sense of self-worth? You were mentioning there that you've been working on your gut health, you were getting some results, but then you would relapse. And you felt that really it was the inner work that helped you transform. How did you get to that point where you realized, do you know what, this isn't just about my physical health. This is so much more intertwined with my mental and spiritual and emotional health.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. We have two parts of ourselves, right? We have the part of ourselves that says, I don't feel worthy. Therefore, I push myself and I do all of these things. And then we have this other part of ourselves that is actually the opposite. It is, no, I am worthy. Therefore, I'm going to go after these things. I'm going to chase them. And if we really peel back the layers of both of these things, they are both trying to do the exact same thing. It's us trying to love ourselves in the best way that we know how. And so I realized that I had both parts of me, right? And even now today, a lot of the things that I do and the business that I create and all of that, a lot of that does come from the belief of, I know that I'm worthy, but there's often been that part that's, I believe that I'm unworthy. And it's so interesting because we can be moving towards the same thing, but the intention behind it can be completely different, right? And off air, we talked about, you know, my intention when it was competing, right? For competing for a long time, it was really, you know, how can I be as small as possible? How can I be at low of a body fat percentage as possible? It was very restrictive mentality versus now it's about how can I be as strong as possible? How can I lift as heavy as possible? How can I feel my best every single day? And a lot of it actually is more so about like mental health and feeling good versus about trying to being itty bitty as small as possible overall. So I think we have both parts of us that both are trying to love ourselves in the best capacity. And so for me, healing that part that was like, hey, I'm not worthy, I really had to understand where that was coming from. And there was a hurt little 8-year old. There was a hurt little 8-year old girl who believed that she was only worthy and loved through all of these things, right? And I had to realize that I created this relationship with myself, this view of myself that was really that wounded 8-year-old girl versus this, you know, 30-year-old adult who's like, hey, fuck yeah, we're worthy. We're going after all of these things and coming from a different intention. So for me, just understanding, having the awareness of where so much of this was stemming from, that was incredibly healing. And being able to meet that 8-year-old. And trust me, that 8-year-old girl, she's not like gone. Like she still shows up on the scene very often, right? And this is actually what I coach a lot of women with in business, because it's like, we may think that we have done a lot of the work, right? And that little girl, she's not rubbing her head up. She's not like, hey, you're not worthy. You can't do this. Like, who are you to think that you are, right? It's not revving. It's her head up at a certain level, but then you start to want to grow. Let's say you want to start a business or you want to start speaking. And then all of a sudden, as you're up leveling in your life, that voice starts to come up, right?
And puts the brakes on.
Yeah, and puts the brakes on. So I think part of the initial healing work is realizing it is that wounded child. It's that hurt. That hurt version of us that, you know, just really wants to be held, that we need to be able to comfort and say like, hey, I got you. Like, you are so worthy. You don't have to prove anything. And for me, just really being able to show up for that younger version of myself and really understand where it was stemming from, because like I said, it's not that it doesn't ever show up anymore, but now when it does show up, I know exactly what it is. I know it's that little girl who's just like, hey, we're scared we're not going to be able to do it, we're scared we're not actually worthy. And it's like, hey, I know you're trying to protect me here. I know this is what it is and what's coming up, but you are so worthy and you have nothing to prove, but we're gonna keep moving and we're gonna keep going after this. And for me, it's that awareness and then moving through it, despite a lot of that being there, is what has been so healing for me in a lot of ways.
It's amazing transformation. I mean, what I'm hearing there as well is a lot of courage, as well as a love for yourself, but a lot of courage to move through that. When you look back and you've obviously done a lot of work on yourself, did you do quite a bit of inner child work in terms of therapy to address that sort of eight-year-old girl?
Yeah, I've done all the different types of work.
I've done everything.
But yeah, a lot of the inner child work, right? Because it's like that's where it all stems from, ultimately. All the limiting beliefs we have, all of the stuff that's really getting in our way, which we all have stuff, right? It's like try to go after something really big in your life. Probably that little kid inside of you is going to rev its head up and be like, hey, I don't know if we feel worthy. And if you don't have that, that's incredible. But I would say most people have that when they start to want to do bigger things with their life, right? And I think it's continuing to move past. And this is also where most people quit, right? It's because of the stuff begins to come up. The fear begins to come up. The voice that says, like, who are you to be doing what it is that you're going to do? Like, put yourself out there to be speaking, to be sharing your story. Like, who are you? Nobody's going to listen to you. Nobody's going to buy your stuff. And you hear all of these voices come up. And it's knowing what that is and holding space in such a beautiful way for it, not trying to push it away, being able to feel a lot of that, but moving through it. And as I know, I've continued to do that more and more, you know, it's created that sense of confidence, like a true sense of confidence in myself, because it's not that it's not there. It's not that it completely goes away. It's actually realizing that it can be there and that it's safe for that little girl or that voice to come up and be there, but to still move through it regardless, but also operating from a different place, right? Operating from a true place of, hey, I'm doing this because I genuinely love myself, versus I'm doing this from a place of, I need to prove something to anybody else. And it comes so much back to the intention behind why we do what it is that we do.
Which is so important. I mean, Dr. Maxwell Maltz, his book, Psycho-Cybernetics, he writes a lot about this concept of a thermostat, right? Which I think is similar to what you're saying there, where we all have this internal thermostat. And then when we try to step outside of that, we kind of get pulled back into the comfort zone, right? It's one of the reasons like lottery winners will spend all of the money and they can't hold on to it because their identity had never been of a wealthy individual. And I think that part of what I've found, I don't know if you found this working with clients, is that you can't outpace your identity. And so your identity needs to kind of be slightly ahead or like where you're going in order for you to get there and hold it. But sometimes it's also important for people to, I guess, let their lungs adjust to the altitude, right? So when you get to that level, kind of breathe, this becomes the new normal, like with if they're generating more wealth, right, and income in their business, suddenly like, you know, 30k a month might have been the level. Now it's like, no, I'm getting used to 50k. Now I'm getting used to here as you move up and almost sitting there. I'm curious what you found. You help so many women in business. How do you help them sort of shape their identity, if you like, for that success and get over anything that's holding them back?
Yeah. A lot of that has come through being able to see myself before I'm actually in it, right? Everything that I have in my life, I've created. You know, some people call it manifestation. I know you talk a lot about, you know, syncing your current self with your future self. And I didn't realize I was doing a lot of this for a long time. I didn't have like a name or anything like that for it. But I've always been very, very clear on what it is that I want. So visualization has always been huge for me. Every single morning, you know, one of the first things that I do besides like cold shower, I was doing an ice bath for a while, but my ice bath broke. So now it's cold shower. as I would sit and I would meditate for 30 minutes. And during my meditation, I do two things. I focus on the things that I'm grateful for in my life. And it's not like gratitude work, because people talk a lot about that, where it's like, oh, I'm grateful for this, this, this. No, like I actually go into experiences, memories that I have in my life, memories where I felt so proud of myself, right? I like to think of the time where I remember I spoke on stage in front of 500 people, and it was me breaking through this fear of like, I can't do it, I can't do it, and I did it. And then after, I just like cried in my hotel room, and I just was like, yes, 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 I can do this, I can do this. I think of moments where like I've laughed so hard with loved ones that I like almost peed my pants, and I shift my state while I'm doing this, right? Because it's so easy to think about all of the things that's not working, or how we're not good enough, or how we're not measuring. And, you know, as you've heard my story, that's actually a lot of my programming. Like my programming, you know, and what led to a lot of my health issues was to focus more on where I'm not measuring up to that standard that I have for myself. So this is me actively shifting a lot of the pathways in my brain, right? Because I know you speak to this a lot, but you know, our brain pathways are a lot more pliable and influence easier in the morning. So I'm shifting into a higher vibrational state in the morning. And then after I focus on these memories, I then shift my focus into the life that I want to create for myself, which is always evolving, but it involves me, you know, me speaking on stage and sharing my story with thousands of people, but not seeing myself like stumbling or, you know, with all the ums and the ahs, or because I remember there was a time, why would I get so afraid of public speaking? Is because I would see myself messing up every single time before I would speak. And guess what would happen?
You'd mess
up. Of course
up.
I was nervous. I would mess up. So it's me seeing myself like doing the thing and crushing it and speaking with utter conviction. It's, you know, it's me seeing my business changing the lives of over thousands of people and the impact that has, the celebration. It's, you know, it's on the romantic side. It's me with my future husband and my baby in my arms. And I see all of these things, and it further changes my state. And then I take that Rachel, I take that version of me into my day. And by doing this every single day, like I can't help not go after what I want. Like I can't not do it, but I'm doing it from a completely different place from what I did before, because before it was so fear-based, right? It was, here's how I'm not measuring up. So I need to try to get here so I can feel X, Y, and Z. When we're doing it in this way, it's, I already feel this way. I've already experienced it. The brain doesn't know the difference. And now I'm just showing up that way currently, right now in the moment. And I do that day after day after day. I did this when I wanted to create my functional medicine practice early on. I did this when it came to public speaking. I've done this for every aspect of my life, right? And I believe that's really how manifestation works. Like it's not just like seeing something, but it's seeing something, creating that, shifting yourself, and then taking action today and showing up in that way based off of that. So I love teaching the women in my mastermind, you know, that aspect of it. So a lot of visualization, I think, is really, really crucial. And then also too, I think it is, you know, doing some of the deeper healing work. And I don't necessarily like go in there always with them, but it is sometimes like, you know, having the conversation about like, okay, what is this? You know, what was that part of you from when you were younger who carried this belief system, right? And oftentimes, you know, when we can go there and really talk about that, it creates this beautiful awareness of, oh, that's not me. Like that's a younger version of me, but that's not me here today. And I think for a lot of women, even just that awareness piece, it allows for us to take action still, because we're less identified with the pain and the fear. So it's a combination of visualization, and it's a combination of creating awareness over what is coming up. And then what we are aware of, we can continue to disidentify from, through taking aligned action towards what it is that we do want.
I love that. And the intention behind it, I think, is so, as you say, so important. And I think it's something that people can't sometimes can lose sight of, right, with business, because they're focused on the numbers or the number of likes that they get on a social media post or something like that, instead of thinking, what's the intention behind the post? Who am I helping here? How do I want him or her to feel when they read this post or watch this video? And it's so different. And I find that when you approach things with intention in that way, life just seems to flow. It feels more effortless. It's not that you're necessarily working any less hard, right? Because as you say, you're following your dreams and you're putting the effort in, but it flows more easily and it doesn't feel so energy intensive.
Yeah.
It's
also like in business, focusing a bit more on one, how you want other people to feel, right? As you're creating content, as you're putting that out there, but also like, how do you want to feel in your own business yourself too? And so for me, often when I find myself like in a bit of a burnout or like stressing, and I'm like, okay, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? I'm doing this to one, to serve other people. Am I doing that? And then two, I'm doing this because I love doing this and I want to have fun along the way. And if I'm not having fun, then I need to make some different shifts and changes. I'm not saying like it's always fun. Like trust me, this is the person who's like very, very disciplined and puts in the work. But I also find when we can incorporate more play, more fun in the work that we're doing, it makes it that much more fulfilling. And I think it was like the same thing too, like looking back at fitness and bodybuilding, what started off to be something fun and I enjoyed became this like task, this discipline, right? And often that's what actually leads to a lot of the burnout, right? We're just like so hyper focused on the goal versus like, okay, why am I doing this in the first place, right? It's like, why am I working out in the first place? Well, I'm working out because I want to feel better, right? I want to feel more confident in myself. Is it doing those two things? And if I were to look back, I'm like, no, I did not feel better. I actually felt worse about myself and I was actually less confident. So it's like sometimes we forget the intention as to why we're doing certain things. I like to think of examples of like, I don't know, because people experience this all the time, like going out on a date, right? Sometimes you can go on a date and you're like, what should we do? We should do this. We should do this. We should do this. And we get so task focused. And then it's like, wait, why are we going out on this date anyway? Well, we're going to enjoy each other. So as long as we're doing that, that's all that really ultimately matters. So I think it's always coming back to intention in everything that we do. What is the intention for, you know, whether it's our fitness, our health, what is the intention for our business? At least I'd say for the type A perfectionist personalities, because I think it's this type where we very easily lose sight of the why and we get very focused on the task.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so true. And just for anyone listening to this, go and check out Rachel's Instagram, because you'll see just how well this works, because you're in absolutely incredible shape regardless. That's the thing. I think people might be listening to this and thinking, well, no, I feel like I need to hold on that tight. Do you know what I mean? Otherwise, I'm going to lose that result. And really, it just kind of shows. That's just one thing that I can think of where really you just embody it and the results show. And it's the same with your business success, you know, same how like glowing and beautiful you look. I think it's so inspiring for people listening, particularly for women, because of the way we sort hold ourselves back. We talked a little bit offline as well about how to know when to push and when to pull. And the link, when to kind of pull back and have a bit more recovery, and the link with women's hormones. I know you've done a lot of work in this regard and looking at the menstrual cycle and how to kind of really optimize your work around that. Can you share a bit more about how you approach that?
Yeah, I used to be the person who just would like head down, blinders up, go. And especially because I work with a lot of men. My business coach was a man. I would follow a lot of what they do, right? And even the typical, you know, work schedule, it all revolves around men's hormones, right? So testosterone that spikes in the morning. It's this 24-hour cycle where women, we're very, very different, right? So our hormones are typically cycling on a 28-day period. And there are different times during the month where it is better to push, to drive, and there are times where we need to pull back. But unfortunately, like in society, we don't really talk about that. You know, for a long time, you know, I was on birth control, and even just the idea of having a period, it's like, ooh, this is gross, right? It's like, that's really the frame that society creates. It's like, we don't really talk about it. We don't actually know also how important the female hormones are outside of just procreation. We think about it as, okay, we're just trying to make a baby or not. And then it's having a period and that's it. And coming off of birth control actually was one of the most empowering things for me, because I was on it when I was 16 years old up until age, you know, 26. So this was, you know, a decade of my life, and especially during a part of my life where I was maturing and really finding myself. I remember coming off of it, I'm like, okay, we're going to really find out who Rachel is in a lot of ways. And it was really incredible because I was able to really tap into this beautiful part of myself that I really don't feel like I was able to fully experience when I was on birth control, right? I think there's a lot of superpowers around ovulation that often we miss out on. And even talking about business and like, when's a good time to drive, you know, women are the most creative around that time of their cycle. It's actually in the first going into the second week, so around days 14, so spring into summer, this is actually where energy is a bit more external, right? So we call it spring, and then summertime is as we're closer to ovulation, and this is where testosterone is beginning to rise. So this is often where a woman will feel the most confident. Right. So this is a great time to take action in our business, to create content, to do the speaking engagements. We just feel like we're glowing, we're playful in a lot of ways too, versus as we get into week three of the cycle where progesterone starts to pick up, and then week four, where we're getting into that PMS phase. You know, this is also where our energy starts to go a bit more internal, right? And this is often where, if we try to continue to drive forward, often women can experience a lot of burnout, right? And a lot of the work schedules, like I said, aren't really in alignment with this. So women still have to continue to work. They still have to, you know, go do the things that they have responsibilities for. But I've found that this is actually a time where I really need to go more inward with myself. It's a time to really pull back. It's not a time to really probably do a whole lot of pushing forward, probably not. And of course, there's times where I have speaking engagements and podcasts that fall around this time. But if I'm able to align it properly, this is a time for me to really kind of pull back a bit and give myself that rest. And really cycling in this way with my energy, so a time to really push forward, to step forward, and a time to really pull back, and to really also just show up for myself in that moment, because it's not pulling back. It's, okay, what does Rachel really need here? And I've noticed that during the times I don't really listen to that, that's where I experience a lot of burnout. That's where I experience, you know, a really bad period, a really bad cycle that next month. So often, it's taking care of ourselves in this cycle that allows for a more even flow of energy. And I think for a lot of women, they are more prone to burnout because we are just taught, you know, drive and drive hard in a lot of ways. So I think first learning our hormones and how they cycle, and really trying as much as possible to match our work ethics in that way can definitely help. And then the last piece, you know, I always go back to is still though intuition, you know, and really checking in with ourselves. And I think if more of us actually did that, of like, hey, what am I feeling? Is this really a time where I want to be creating, or is this a time where I really need to give myself rest, you know, because it's been a busy month? Like, we also need to be able to listen to that, because I've also been in times where, you know, hey, it's spring, it's summer, and I'm supposed to be feeling good and marching forward, and my body's like, hey, we need to chill out a bit. And every time looking back, I override those cues. I don't listen to that subtle little voice that says like, hey, if you're feeling a little bit tired, you need to slow down. That's when I experience burnout. And for me, burnout is sometimes insomnia, it's anxiety. It's just like that chronic brain fog and fatigue. And then it really sets you back further. And it took me probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 cycles of experiencing that in my business just to realize, you know, okay, there has to be a different way as to how I go about this.
100%. And I think as an entrepreneur, those business cycles then, particularly in the early days when you've got less of a team around you, right, to pick things up, it affects your income, it affects the revenue that you're generating, and it creates this very sort of spiky effect. What do you do on a daily basis? You were talking about your morning routine, the gratitude practice, which I love, and that real connection that you have with yourself and everything you have in your life and everything you want to experience in your life, and the visualization that you do. What do you do during your day? Like, how does your day organized? You obviously still prioritize exercise in a big way. You're very successful. You're running multiple businesses. You've got the podcast. What does a day in the life of Rachel Scheer look like?
Yeah, I love my morning routine. So I probably have a good 2-hour morning routine, and my workouts incorporated into that. I wake up pretty early. I do not set an alarm clock. Actually, a hack that really helped me also with burnout was getting rid of setting an alarm clock. And I know some people will be listening is like, okay, I have kids and I have these things that I have to do. But for me, sleep is a non-negotiable. Like, I had to make that a number one in my life, especially trying to recover from different phases of burnout, trying to heal my body. And I also realized that if I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't going to be productive. Like, good luck trying to be creative, good luck trying to be happy, good luck trying to do any of these things if you're not getting quality sleep. So, no, I go to bed each night around 8:30, 9 o'clock. Not always. I'm not perfect, but I then let my body naturally wake up in the morning. I have my morning routine, so some cold water exposure. I do my meditation, and then I shift into some kind of movement and exercise. So sometimes it is going into the gym, but I do have a home gym as well. So I do a lot of workouts at home. I try to get sunlight in the morning. I do have a red light therapy that I will use. Actually, I meditate under my red light often, so I'm really great at multitasking. But I try to get some sunlight. And then usually it's shortly after that, I just slowly ease into work. I used to just try to like wake up and get immediately into my work. And some people can do that because there's not a perfect way to do a routine, in my opinion. It's what do you need and what's going to be the best for your nervous system. And I found for myself, like, I have a bit more of a sensitive nervous system, so I can't wake up, immediately jump into work. I like to slowly ease into it. I like to really set myself up mentally and physically for success. So as I'm stepping into my work, whether it is client calls, whether it's, you know, working with my team and my business, whether it's doing podcasts or whatever it may be, I can show up in a way where I feel like I can show up my very best and I can give my best. And then I take lots of breaks during the day. I used to, same thing, have the mentality of just work through it, right? Just get everything done as fast as possible. But I have to take a lot of breaks. So I will take, even if it's the little micro breaks during the day, it can be a 10-minute break, my lunch break, an hour. And I'm very intentional about trying to get outside and really trying to shift out of work for that period, right? So not being on my phone, not getting on Instagram. Again, not perfect, but I try to really give myself that time to shift out of work for a period of time. So I almost kind of think of it like a second morning routine in a lot of ways. And as I've been doing this, I've found that I'm able to step back into my afternoon or other calls that I have with so much more intention, with so much more energy. And I'm able to not get to the end of the day just feeling exhausted. And this is actually something I have my clients do quite a bit, because often one of the big symptoms that our clients will say that they have is chronic fatigue. Right. So we can do all the testing. We can look at their hormones. We can look at their thyroid. We'll look at their gut microbiome. We'll look at inflammation levels, deficiencies. But we have to also look at lifestyle too. So I'll usually have them walk me through their entire daily routine. And then I'll have them take out a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle of the piece of paper. And on the left side, I'll have them put all the things that they do that are draining energy during the day. And then on the right side, I have them write down all of the things that give them energy during the day. So this could be, maybe I get outside. Maybe this is time with my family. Maybe this is their workout. And as we go through the routine and I have them make this list, of course, we realize that the list on the left is very, very long. And the list on the right is very, very small. So then we have the conversation about, okay, so what are you actually doing to create energy during the day? So you're chronically fatigued all the time. You're doing all of these things that are taking energy away, but are you actually doing anything to create energy for yourself? And it's almost like this light bulb moment goes off and it's like, okay, so I need to add in some things intentionally during my day. Because if you think about it, like we wake up, it's like our battery pack is maybe full. If you got a good night's sleep, you could say it's full. If you didn't, you're probably starting like with a half battery, but your battery's full. And then you jump into taking your kids to school and cooking and going to work and sitting on the computer. And it's like battery going down, 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 down. And that's where most people get to midday and their battery is completely empty. And then they continue throughout the day, just focus on, you know, these tasks and things they have to get done. And then by the end of the day, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so exhausted. Why don't I have any energy? And it's like, well, are you incorporating things that can actually recharge your battery during the day? So that's really a lot of what I do myself is like, yes, I'm in my work and I'm grinding, but I also have these little micro moments where I'm recharging back up my battery. So then when I get to the end of the day, my battery's not empty. I mean, it's like half full.
And then you've got time for relationships and things. I love that. What would you say are the things that recharge your battery the most for you or you found with clients?
Nature.
Nature. Sunlight. Yeah. I love nature.
Anything outside, anything being in sunlight. I try to get outside as much as possible. Mm. Like that's going to be the most recharging or, you know, very intentional time with people that I love. Right. So one of my core values is intimacy, which to me means into me, you see. So, you know, like for me, surface level conversations, they're draining, but conversations with people, my best friends, and when we can really go there and have conversations about like, you know, but even if it's things they're struggling with or, you know, conversations about life, like those are very meaningful to me and they recharge my battery. So I think it's nature, it's getting outside, exercise, of course. I mean, that's been a huge one my entire life. And then quality time with people I love.
I love it. Where can people find more about you, Rachel, and connect with you, enjoy your content, your podcast, and also find out more about how they might work with you as well?
Yeah, you can check out my Instagram. It's at Rachel Shear. My practice is at Rachel Shear Nutrition. I know we talked a good amount about business coaching. And, you know, that's a lot of what I do is I help women create the life, the abundance, the business that they want for themselves. It's breaking through a lot of limiting beliefs. And that's the Evolution Mastermind. And we do have an Instagram. It's brand new, but it's called Evolved Women.
I love it. We will link to all of that in the show notes. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Angela.
I hope today's episode inspired you on your journey to vibrant health and high performance. Make sure you check out the show notes for a summary of all the important links to everything we talked about. And if you enjoyed this episode, hit the follow button and share it with a friend on social media or leave a review over on Apple Podcasts. Remember, achieving high performance health is about getting 1% better each day. So think about one thing you learned from today's episode and start implementing it today. Share with me what you've learned on social media over at Angela S. Foster. I love hearing from you and connecting with you. Have a beautiful day and always remember, you are worthy of your dreams.